with the cross in towards Alfonso Davies. Canada's history-making moment delivered by their biggest superstar. A goal the country has been dreaming about for decades finally arrives.
You're listening to the Northern Football Podcast with Ben Steiner and Alexander Gonge-Rujic.
Get a bit of a quicker episode start to episode 153 of the Northern Football Podcast. Ben Steiner alongside Alex Gonge-Rujic and Brendan Dunlop as always. And this week we're joined by Ricardo Pascal, the new owner and part of the new ownership group of York United and Gameplan Sports. Of course, he bought the club alongside his brothers Eduardo and Miguel. Welcome to the podcast. Certainly exciting to have you investing in Canadian football and what is an exciting, albeit chaotic, time.
Hey guys, first of all, thanks for having me. And I'm hoping to bring back a little of the Latin flavor that you just guys recently lost back to the podcast. So to be here with you guys.
Certainly needed. We do have Alex, who speaks decent Spanish. Brendan, who brings a little bit of the Portuguese flair, but not much from me with my Slovakian and Ukrainian roots. But we'll get into some of the questions. We asked our listeners some questions as well to see whether they had any concerns or questions about the club. But I guess I'll just start off with, I know that you and your brothers have moved to Toronto. How's the adjustment been to living in Canada?
Oh, great. I'm loving it here. So here's a story you probably don't know yet. My wife, she used to live in Toronto when she was a teenager. So when this whole idea of investing in York United came maybe a year ago or so, she was like, you better freaking do this deal. Because I love Toronto and I want to be living there. So I've been having all this pressure from my wife since a year ago. And yeah, as you said, I got recently about a month ago to the city and just loving every second of it.
Ricardo, you're joining Canadian soccer at a very, very interesting time. Of course, things have changed a little bit in the Canadian soccer landscape since you and your brothers were introduced as owners of York United. So how have you found the last couple of months and particularly maybe the last few weeks making the trajectory to start the season look very different from where it did a couple of months ago?
Okay. Is the question coming more about the CSB Media Pro thing or just soccer in general?
Well, I mean, the soccer in general, the landscape is obviously a little different, obviously, but you can take the question wherever you like. Has it affected maybe your plans or your outlook for your first season a little bit?
No. I mean, we've been in talk with the league maybe since last April. So it's basically been a 1 year negotiation thing. It had been involved many, many conversations. I was kind of joking in the press conference, but at the same time, not joking, that maybe since the first connection we had with the league 10 months ago, we've talked to them daily. Maybe besides a couple of weekends, it had been a day-to-day conversation. So we made a due diligence. We dig hard into it. So we are, again, we knew like from every possible angle the opportunities we had. We talked about with our investment group and like we knew what we were getting ourselves into. We love it. We see the potential it has. We visualize what it may become, Canadian soccer in the next upcoming years. So very excited for that.
Awesome. Well, Ricardo, bienvenido al show. It's good to have you on. Just my kind of question to start was when you guys were announced as the owners, there was a lot of excitement because you guys have a strong, you know, family history and personal history in Mexican soccer, which especially in the last decade or 20 years has grown a lot commercially. You know, Liga MX, a lot of the clubs, you know, really harnessed the potential on the business side. So I'm kind of curious, based on, you know, the experience you guys have working with, you know, familiarly with Club America, your ties to Monterrey, which is a huge giant in the region. What are some of those lessons you guys are looking to bring to a CPL where it's, you know, still super young and is still working on harnessing some of that potential that we've seen Mexico capitalize on?
Well, as same as the three of you guys, I've been a huge soccer fan of my life. You know, me and my family and the ties we would have had before with our experience of my family and everybody involved in soccer. So talking from a personal level, I've seen Canadian soccer grow tremendously in the last few years. I don't know if you guys like to bet on games, but like, let's say if Canada plays Mexico tonight, right? If they play at a neutral field somewhere in Europe or whatever, like, what would be the odds of Canada winning and Mexico winning? Like, I bet you it's going to be like really close, right? What would these odds would have been maybe 10, 12 years ago? So Mexico would be a huge favorite, right? So I've seen it in my own eyes as a fan, how Canadian soccer has growth. Maybe this is something that Canadian people do realize, but they don't really realize how they've evolved, right? So the Canadian Premier League has basically had three full seasons because two of them were in pandemic, right? So basically three full seasons. So it's very poorly to say that I'm excited what it can become. And I'm going to be here for the ride. So that's my wish. That's what I dream of. And I know, I'm sure Canada's as national team is going to be a top 10 national team in the next 5 to 10 years. And I can bet on it. So
I certainly like the call of that. But we'll get to a couple questions from our listeners who were all very engaged and intrigued by the purchase and also excited to see what the club can become. And we'll get to our first one, which was a pretty common theme throughout our listener questions. And we'll go from at Adam Ifrady at Crates of Freights, stadium plans. What's the status on those? Where's that moving? Is Woodbine still an option? Sort of just an update on, you know, if this club sees an extended future at York University, or what's sort of the plans moving forward?
Okay. So first of all, York University, like the staff, everybody at York University has been really good for us so far. They know, like, for example, the team is training back at York University. We're training at York Lightning Stadium. I think the team did that just for the inaugural season for 2019. So they were very open to it. We're training back, and they're also very aware of we have to improve the game day experience, right? Like in every possible way. So we're working very closely with them, and they've been very helpful so far. Having said that, as any owner of a sports team in the future, we'd like to have our own stadium. No, so I can tell you we're exploring every possible option, talking with most of the people that we can regarding this matter. So yeah, it's within our plans for sure. We're just working on every single detail right now of when and how and where can this become a new stadium for us.
What would the dream scenario be in terms of a stadium? If you were to pick something without going through any hoops or regulations or costs or anything like that, what would sort of the dream stadium be for York United in Toronto?
Realistically, or should I just envision something that...
Just envision something that maybe not realistic, but if everything was sort of out the window, what would be your sort of perfect plan?
I mean, I think a stadium like a dream scenario would be to have our own stadium, maybe 20,000 plus people, you know. I think maybe from the CPL, maybe for this season, it would be a bit big. But I'm quite confident that in the next few years, if we manage to create a new stadium, I think it's going to be packed. Canada is, well, Toronto specifically in the GTA area, you have more like between 6 and 7 million people all around. So a bunch of soccer fans that we're hoping to engage with them. So yeah, again, a 20 plus thousand seat stadium would be tremendous. And I think it's a possibility.
Ricardo, how far away do you think the Canadian Premier League is from filling Tim Hortons Field and filling TD Bank Stadium and having 20,000 seaters? Because I know I speak for the two guys on the show here with me. We would love to see that in the Canadian Premier League now and hope that that's in the very near future. But how far away do you think that might be?
Not that far away. I mean, a couple of things. First, the World Cup is coming in a couple of years, right? Mm-hmm. So that's going to boost the soccer in Canada. And I think, like I told you guys, the league has basically done a three-year full season, right? So it's a baby league, not to put it that way, compared to other countries. Mm-hmm. So we have to work together from every single club, work together with the CPL, have a marketing plan in place, which we're already working at, and it's taking shape. And again, it's just like addressing every possible soccer fan out there that, hey, we're here, we're a new league. I'm surprised by the quality of the players that are in the CPL, considering a new league. So I don't think we're that far away.
Just to kind of hop in also on the theme of stadium, like you mentioned, the stadium plan could also take a few years. And you mentioned that, you know, you're at the moment you're committed with York University. and York Lions Stadium. So I'm kind of curious, what are some of maybe the activations and some of the things you guys are looking to improve short term to get attendance up this season while you guys are still at York Lions?
That's a great question. A great question. I can tell you the answer is a lot. Like, we're exploring really every inch of York Lions Stadium. From, is it going to be improving the what we can do with food and beverage, what can we do with activations, what can do with games, with kids' experience, post-game, pre-game, halftime. Like, little I can tell you, it's more than 100 ideas that we've run through for everybody in our team. How can we get better? Because the fans deserve it. No? At the end of the day, they're going to have the final say on it, if it's a good experience or not. So we are preparing. I can tell you we are preparing hard work every single day to make sure we're ready for week one and offer fans a better experience.
In terms of, you know, your target demographic for this season, where you see this club potentially growing and attracting more fans, do you have an idea? Is this going to be like a family-oriented club to try and attract young fans? Or, you know, do you want to attract people who are going to pubs before the game and coming out to support? Because I know the club has kind of shifted that mentality over the years that they've been at York Lions.
Again, this is also a very good question, and it has many answers too. And like, for example, guys, do you know that soccer right now in Canada is the most practiced sport by far? Participation rate, and by far it's like a 3-to-1 advantage to hockey that's in second place. So we are trying to targeting kids, like teenagers, and also adult people also, and we have plans prepared like for every single one, every single division. Like, for example, kids were have these open tryouts that we're going to start doing for teenagers. We have all these activations for kids. We have all these things prepared that in the correct time we're going to address the fans and the community. But yeah, just we're working hard in every single one of them.
Gordo, obviously football is a business, and we know that that winning is very good for business. But how important do you think it is in this first season to have a team that's not just contending for a playoff spot, but, you know, is a team that's looking to reach for the top and contend with the other big teams in the Canadian Premier League?
Yeah, for sure. And I think we're very close. I mean, if you take a look at last season, hats off to the coaching staff and the players. I mean, without an ownership group, without the uncertainty of what's going to happen, it's tough to perform, you know? You have all these questions, what happened to me, my professional contract as a player, coach, etc. So the roster, I'm surprised about the quality of the players. I think the reinforcements that we got, the few Mexican kids, Dennis also, Juan also, Frank, among others. I mean, I think we have quite a good roster right now. Our goal would be to compete for both of the tournaments that the club's going to participate in. And at the same time, we also started since day one preparing a plan for how are we going to invest in young Canadian talent. So hopefully you guys can read all about this in the upcoming days. It's something that we're going to announce shortly. And we're very excited for that.
Is there one fixture or one moment in particular you're most looking forward to? Is it that first game at York? Is it the first game against Bobby Smyrniotis and Forge down the QEW?
Yeah, I can tell you week one's going to be great. We're playing at Ottawa week one. But I think week two at home playing against the champions is going to really be a great experience all around. Our first home game. Again, all I talked about activations, improving game day experience for the fans, and hopefully we can get that double against Fortune. That'll be great.
And you mentioned the young players as well, and that actually leads nicely into one of the other listener questions from at Toronto Maple FC2. How's the club going to utilize the massive talent pool in the GTA, given that almost all of the best talents at this point are in the MLS system, or most go overseas directly? How will York seek to fill that gap? And I guess, you know, just an editorial note, the MLS system misses a lot in the GTA and in Canada, so much so that it hinders the youth national teams to an extreme amount.
Okay, so Benjamin, this is a great topic that you mentioned. Do you know that, I'm going to give you a couple of stats here. Okay, do you know that in Mexico, there are 9,500 more or less players registered, professional players registered in FIFA? Mexico is the number one country in the world that has the most professional soccer players. Do you know that Canada doesn't even have up to 700? Like, what I'm getting at is we are very, very excited for what we can do with Canadian talent in the future. We have all these programs, and this is maybe the focal point of our of Game Plan Sports Group. It's investing in young Canadian talent. We have all these things prepared. How are we going to work with local academies that already exist? How are we going to launch in the future of our academy? We're going to have some open tryouts for the whole country. So we're preparing on the logistics and all of this. Hopefully in the next month or so, we can announce it. But yeah, this is literally the focal point of Game Plan Sports Group. It's investing in young Canadian talent. So hopefully all the people out there can, we can reach out to them so they can know that we have all these participation, open trial things. And yeah, just really excited to start working on those projects.
I guess kind of on that note, I mean, you kind of mentioned that you guys are working on some stuff that you can't fully announce yet, but maybe what are some of the plans for the academy? Because I know over the offseason, the York United Academy oversaw some changes, and what might the long-term structuring of that be? Because obviously that could be a huge way to get some of that Canadian talent.
Yeah, Mark, who used to run the academy, the team head, well, he runs, but it's not an official academy of the team right now. He has been great. I've talked to him almost every week or so. And basically we told him, hey, Mark, in the future, if and when we want to start our academy, like it has to be like under our own guidelines and, you know, strategy, so to say, and how it's going to be involved with the first team and the subdivisions, League One project that we have going on and so on. So, we are eager to announce that also. Again, we're just working on some of the logistics, but that'll be having our own academy will be part of our plan of what I was just saying about investing in young Canadian kids. So,
and in terms of just how to improve the roster, there's been some intriguing additions. You brought in some young Mexican talent as well. How do you sort of see this roster on the pitch this season at this point? Is there more to come? I know the transfer window is closed, so there's only so much you can do.
Yeah, we're going to announce a newcomer in the weekend. One more player that we already signed, we just have to make it official. And we're pretty much set. I mean, maybe one or two players locally are going to sign with us. We're just working. We've invited a few to try out and they're currently training with us. We have a couple of very good options. And I think we've just built a very competitive roster all around. I think we're starting from our defense, the midfielders, and like in every line, we're pretty much set. We, again, really excited with the guys that we brought in, but also the ones that were previously on the team. We got a bunch of 20, 21-year-old players that have a lot of promise in them. So a lot to look forward to.
Ricardo, you talk a lot about developing Canadian players and how that's important to you and your ownership group. And York is in a very unique situation being in Toronto with the crop of talent that might be available. But you know, this league where it's at now in its infancy, and Mark Noonan talks about this, is still very much a developing league and a developmental league. You're looking to sell off players. How close do you think, you know, if you look at some of the players on your team, do you look at them and categorize them as, we've got this person for a few years, I can see them making a jump to Mexico. We've got this person a few years, I know we're going to get phone calls from Europe. Have you gone through your roster like that? Do you analyze it that way?
Yeah, Brendan, exactly. I mean, that's part of every GM's job, right? Like to categorize what player do you have, what's the potential to them, long-term, medium-term, and short, medium, and long-term plans. I think we have maybe three or four guys on our roster right now that could be even like for the 2026 World Cup, but maybe it could be in the roster. We got, again, some guys that have a bunch of potential. It's part of my experience and the coaching staff and sporting director to help them raise the level, right? And help them go to more established leagues in the near future. And we're all about that. I mean, I can tell you we're working hard every day on how every player can possibly get better from today to tomorrow and work hard and closely with them.
I guess it's a good time to hop in with another listener question we had just because at Shane underscore K Kelly. Shane Kelly was asking, How much are you guys going to lean on Mexican youth as well? Because obviously you guys have a lot of connections and, you know, there are 7 international spots in this league. So it is important. I mean, one of the top strikers, Alejandro Diaz, in the league has come from Mexico. So there's a history already. So I guess you guys have brought in 3 players. Is that going to be something we see a lot long term to kind of supplement the young Canadian talent with these sorts of connections? Or, you know, was this just something that you guys needed players and you just had those connections available to you?
I think it's a combination of both, Alex. And I don't see long term being like a long term thing. Obviously, we just announced it was the second week, I think, of December as new owners of York United. So we had like maybe half of the offseason that every team had. So yeah, we use part of our connections for like quick conversation we'd have with Monterrey, we had with America, we have with Tijuana, we had with like Pachuca, like 5 or 6 clubs. We explored every possible option, talked to the coaching staff about it. They were okay with it. Again, these kids high, very good quality in them. They are 20, 21, 24 years old. So they still have a lot to grow. But again, I don't want to sound on a broken record, but our plan, medium and long term, is probably have a full Canadian roster in the upcoming years.
Bardo, I have a business question, and forgive me and our listeners, this sounds maybe perhaps a little geeky. But I find that, you know, obviously Mexican football is massive, and it is the most watched league in the United States, to many people's surprise. However, this is exclusively in Spanish. That the numbers in English for English broadcasts at Liga MX just don't register, they don't clock. There is a language divide as to where football is going in the United States. We obviously have a language divide here in Canada. Do you look at it in a similar way? Do you consider that a factor at all? Obviously, you're brand new and you're in English market exclusively. But in terms of analyzing Canadian soccer as a whole, do you see that language divide as being an obstacle that needs to be figured out, or as something that will stand in the way, as we see?
But more or less, like, for a player point of view, or for what, like,
big picture, big scope, in terms of how far the sport can kind of grow? Because I mean, I look at the sport and look at television numbers as such a massive indicator,
right?
But in terms of soccer in the States and measuring how big the sport is in the States, there is that language divide, I think, that kind of stops it from crossing over and to challenge the other major established sports in a more competitive
way. We can talk like hours about this. Right now, the world is globalized, right? You know, so even though soccer just, the CPL is part of like a brand new league, just 5 years. I think soccer is a globalized sport. I mean, it crosses every language barrier, it crosses every culture. And I think it's going to be step by step, brick by brick. It's not just going to be a CPL thing, a club thing. It's also going to be media involved in this. It's also going to be fans more engaging in this. Obviously, we have to do our part and we have to do it very good. But it's like everybody has to put a brick on top of another brick. And so hopefully not just Canada, soccer can be in Canada the most participated sport, but also the most popular sport. So, and I think it's just a matter of time for that to happen.
You mentioned the media there. It's been a chaotic little while between, you know, Canadian Soccer Business, Media Pro, and where these games will be watched this year. Has that been concerning at all? And has it been a bit of a learning experience seeing just the different setup that the Canadian soccer environment is?
I don't think I should be the one talking about this matter. All I can tell you is we've known about this since months ago. That's something that we felt comfortable with. And I think at the end, it's going to be a win-win for everybody. That's all much I can say right now.
And as well,
short and brief answer, but yeah, more or less.
No, very, very understandable.
Boring answer also.
Figured we would ask. And another listener question from at WSoccerCA. Have you had any conversations with AFC Toronto and the potential of working something out with Project 8 as well, with that league coming into the fold next year?
Me in particular, not yet. I know that's something I would like to do in the near future, because again, as I told the brick by brick thing, it's not going to be like the more participants and more people that want to grow the game, the better. So hopefully in the near future, I can
tell you, Ricardo, that, and I think I speak for the other two as well, that I'm excited to hear that, because oftentimes the brick by brick in this country has not been on top of each other, but they've been next to each other. So that's part of where my kind of question went from before. So I do love the idea that you're seeing this as a collective, and then you recognize that that's how it will grow in this country. Because yeah, we all share the same feeling as you and want to see that happen as fast as possible.
I don't sound naive or inexperienced or something like that, but I truly believe like the game of soccer is too big, and we're gonna get to live in a couple of years. It's way too big, soccer in the world. So hopefully, like in the very near future, All-Star line and Canadians, like from CSA to CPL, from every club in the league, the media, like everybody can get like on the same board, you know, and just navigate through it together, and hopefully become a very, very important thing to say in Canada in the upcoming years.
I guess just to kind of follow up on the W Soccer CA's question, because in Liga MX, the women's league has exploded over the last few years. I mean, just seeing some of the crowds that Tigres has been getting, and you know how big the grand finale was last year. How important is gonna, you know, kind of using that as well as a perspective to, you know, when you're looking at an AFC Toronto and some of these clubs that are similarly launching, might be what we saw in Mexico be a bit of a, you know, proof of why it's important as well, and how it's grown Mexican football, especially on the women's side.
Yeah, in Mexico, when it started, I don't want to get this bad, but maybe it started, 10 years ago, more like the women's league, it was like a, wow, it's going to be a challenge. And that was like the first impression. I was there for one game last year. It was a Tigres against Monterrey team for the women's. I got like 45,000 people in the stands. So it's crazy how, again, year one, year two, year three was struggle in some ways, obviously, from every possible angle, but it's grown a lot. And I know the success the women's teams have had in previous years, like in the Olympics and the World Cup, as the Canadian women's. And it's going to be huge. They're a big break, to put it that way, the big conversation we're having. That's a huge break, like to have them on board, have a women's league, have the national team be supportive also of those. It's going to be huge for Canadian soccer. So I know there's a willing, okay, which is everybody has to work on the how now.
I think that's pretty well all the questions that we've got for you and our listeners as well. So thanks so much for coming on the podcast. And we're certainly excited to see how things look this season for York United, considering the ownership change. And congrats again on purchasing the club as well.
Thank you for having me, guys. And you better be there at our opener game. Hope to see you in person, guys.
Great, Ricardo. Thanks so much. This has been fantastic. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, guys.
So it certainly seems like he's got a good idea of where Canadian soccer stands and how they want to go about running York United in the immediate future, with still at York Lions Stadium, and then, you know, looking forward to a potentially, you know, in his dream world, a 20,000 person stadium. So I think a lot of interesting notes there from Ricardo and a good understanding of the Canadian footballing scene.
I liked his optimism. I mean, obviously, they're smart business people. He said that they were aware of the issues with CSB and Media Pro, and you know, they weren't bothered by it. I think he said we were okay with that. They knew very much what they were getting into. And he's super optimistic about where Canadian soccer is growing. I think if we were all like that, maybe Canadian soccer would be in a better place, because far too often, as we know, we're not always working as a collective in the same direction. Many different facets. It's very divided as far as fans are concerned, which I think they have found as a challenge in the past at York, and this new ownership group will find to be a bit of a challenge. But I like the way they're thinking about things, and they don't seem afraid by any of these challenges that face them.
Yeah, it's huge, obviously, to be optimistic about, you know, the prospects. And you know, of course, you want that ambition from owners, but it's, you know, nice to hear things like, oh, Canada on the men's side can be a top 10 country. Even talking about on the women's side, I was, you know, very positive to hear right away. He's like, yeah, I want to have discussions with the newest local club, AFC Toronto, to make things work. He's seen in Mexico the investment in the women's game. Just, yeah, hearing him talk about the talent in the GTA for York United, what they could bring. You have to be encouraged by all that. And I'm really curious about the short term, because obviously a lot of this success feels like it's going to depend on the long term, right? Like how you're able to going to develop talent. That takes time. Of course, teams like Cavalry and Forge are always going to have that edge because they've been doing it for, you know, so long with Foothills and Sigma. But that's always the interesting part with these Yorks, with, you know, it seems like Vancouver FC, these teams that are being created from scratch, Halifax Wanderers, we're seeing it. How did they find these avenues to develop in communities, especially in the case of other markets, maybe not so much York, where there's so much already existing talent, but that's also another challenge. How do you coexist with what's been there so far? And sometimes Yorks maybe struggled to do that. So I was very curious to hear how he touches all on that and how they go about it long-term. But I was excited to hear long-term or short-term that some of the plans of working at York Lions and whatnot, because unfortunately, maybe that's not a reality they want, but it's a reality they have. And I'm very curious to see how they tackle that short-term, because that could be huge for how they set themselves up for what's to come.
I got this impression from listening to the three of them at the press conference, and reinforced more so by Ricardo in our conversation with him, that they know that butts and seats is not going to be the way they make their money, which is the way that Forge and Cavalry will continuously be able to reinvest. They're obviously selling players as well. But from York's perspective, they know that they have to get recruitment right so they can sell off right. And that's how I think they will fuel both a winning team and fuel a successful business. And so the emphasis on developing and recruiting great Canadian players for that to contribute to the ecosystem, like it feels like a win-win. Hopefully it can come to fruition and it's something that they can make sustainable.
I think one of the things that really gave me some positivity is just his realism and understanding about the Canadian soccer ecosystem and space as well, because you can come in with, you know, all these lofty dreams of we want to create York United into a CONCACAF contender. We want 20,000 people a game and the perfect stadium. And I know I wanted to hear what his perfect stadium would be, but when you look at sort of the realism that he had, he did his due diligence about the CSB mess. He did his due diligence about sort of everything else that he was getting into in terms of, you know, the mess that is Canadian soccer, for lack of a better term. And so I think that's important as well, because there could be a lot of owners that would come into the picture that wouldn't necessarily have that and maybe treat the Canadian Premier League or CPL ownership as similar to soccer in the global space, which we know that it's not that. And that's something that has affected Media Pro's operations in the CPL. Just learning the Canadian soccer space, the way it's been done in Canada for a long time, the seeming refusal to do it in any different way. And I thought that his brick by brick analogy was an important one, because for so long, this Canadian soccer ecosystem has certainly not been that.
Well, I think it's important, though, the Liga MX experience he brings. And that's why I kind of wanted to touch it upon it in the beginning, because we do see that sometimes where if you maybe come in from a European perspective, it can be very confusing to work in North American landscape. Like you see it, right? A lot of sports here, it's for profit. There's always these talks of where's the money? Sometimes sports and soccer in Europe, for example, like, you know, some of these clubs don't make profits. They operate at a loss because for there, soccer is so built in the ecosystem. It's the club. It's the culture, right? That's what we want. But the reality is sometimes here in Canada, there's a huge financial aspect of it. And I do find it interesting that he comes from a Liga MX background where commercially they've grown a lot over the last few years. Yes, they've made a few missteps. They had some controversial changes when it came to promotion relegation. And, you know, they kind of went for a bit more of an American model. And obviously that caused a huge stir. But for the most part, we've seen how huge some of these clubs have become. Club America, Monterrey, Chivas, Tigres. These are genuine powerhouse brands. They pay their players well. Like they've really stepped up and commercialized that aspect of it. And I think it's interesting that he kind of comes with that blend of Mexico's got huge soccer culture, right? Like this is a country that's about to host a third World Cup. Like the league, it's got such a rich history, rich talent history. It's got that kind of European element of it. But Liga MX has kind of had to deal with that kind of commercialization of the sport a lot more than maybe some of the other perspectives that could have come in from a Europe or something, for example. So I think that'll be interesting to see how he can kind of blend those two perspectives together in this new job.
One of the things I love about the Canadian Premier League and what makes it so different from so many of the soccer ventures in the past, and I don't just mean comparable professional leagues or attempts at professional leagues, but you've got this Mexican ownership group involved with the Canadian Premier League, very much driven by Bob Young, who is a football guy, not a soccer guy initially. You had Media Pro, the Spanish broadcaster. You have now a commissioner and CEO of CSB who's American that has real international experience. Mark Noonan was a head of a club in Ghana, many people don't know. And you have people from different corners of the earth and sports landscapes coming together to try and make it really work for this Canadian Premier League. And that's why I'm hopeful that this brick by brick can work in this league and in this space. Because, you know, as we joke, I said that the bricks have been beside each other, everyone's trying to build their own pile. Sometimes they're throwing them at each other too, as we joked about. But, you know, I do think that that's a positive that you've got so many different perspectives exclusively in this league where everyone's on the same board. They want the CPL to be successful and sustainable for a long, long time. And, Ricardo and his brothers are getting in, I think, at a very, very good time.
I think that's all we've got for episode 153 of the Northern Football Podcast. A little bit of a shorter one, but a nice conversation with Ricardo Pascal and some good insight into what the future holds for York United in the Canadian Premier League, both in the near future and the extended future as well. For Alex and Brendan, I've been Ben. Thanks so much for tuning in to the Northern Football Podcast. Please make sure to rate, review, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. All of those are very much appreciated. And we'll be back next time for episode 150.